Zeig uns!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 72 of Nerd Pride Radio. 72, the number of spaces in a game of Parcheesi from start to home. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. I should have taken a breath before I started this. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my brain anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right, Nerd Pride Radio smells exactly like pizza bites and popcorn. But we gotta get right into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. And if something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list on my handy-dandy pocket mod. Then the best stuff off that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight in that master list. Updates! Okay. Quick weight update. It was down, it was up, but a lot of that was from being sick was the reason it was down. But let me tell you what. I lost like 8 or 9 pounds when I was sick last week. I mean, I lost a lot. And then after it all stabilized out, and I was feeling a lot better, but now I was skinny. And I forgot about this part. God, being skinny makes you cold. I was freezing to death all week. It was terrible. No, and it wasn't just the fever. I got over the fever part of it. I was like suddenly I had to wear jackets and stuff. How do you skinny people deal with it? I'm not even skinny. I'm still fat. I'm just, you know, lighter than I was before. And I'm freezing to death. You guys are crazy. I'm getting fat again. I can't handle this. I'll wait till summer to get skinny. Man, that's crazy. But the other update that I had going on was, I mentioned Parks and Rec last week. And when I talked about Parks and Rec, I listened back to the podcast. And I realized I didn't make my point when I was talking about Parks and Rec. I mean, I made the point that I like it. That was great. But I had other stuff I wanted to talk about. My brain was so fuzzy last week. I can't even tell you. My wife and I had to go to a doctor's appointment, for something else the next day. And I was still, I mean, I had gotten over being sick, but not really. And I'm like filling out the form. And for the first time ever, I'm filling out the form going, okay, age. How old? All right. I'm 40. Oh, I had to actually calculate. I'm like, all right, I was born in 70. So I go, okay, 44. Got it. I had to do math in my head to figure out how old I was. It was little stuff like that. My wife's social security number. I have known my wife's social security number since we got married. I can fill that out. Hell, I can sign her name. I'm that good at it. And yet it gets to her social security number. I'm like, what? Baby, what's the third number? I had everything but one digit. I just couldn't remember it. My mind was fuzzy. So, to back up for Parks and Rec, here's the deal about Parks and Rec, and the point I was going to make about it, is the thing I don't like about The Office is that The Office relies on basically people being really uncomfortable all the time. That is, there's not a whole lot of winning in The Office. It's people being in awkward situations and then doing things that make those awkward situations worse. And normally, I just don't enjoy that style of humor. Meet the Parents. All right, before they ruined it and turned it all, you know, being all about the Fockers, the Meet the Parents was really good. I enjoyed that one. And that was one where it was a painful movie to watch. It was Ben Stiller getting himself into deeper and deeper trouble as the movie went on. And it was really funny, and I really enjoyed that. But normally, that sort of painful humor, like, I don't know, half of Ben Stiller's other movies, I just can't get into it. And so I realize now, since I talked to you last time, what I was going to say last week was that whereas The Office has that painful, awkward humor, Parks and Rec generally doesn't. I mean, there's still a lot of painful, awkward stuff in it, but the characters are a lot more relatable, a lot more likable, a lot more, I don't know, I want to see them do well. I root for them, whereas in The Office, I don't really care so much. And bless you, that's Noah. Say hi, Noah.
Hi.
All right.
Dad, can I tell them the thing quickly?
Well, is it your turn to talk?
Once you're done with this.
Okay. After I'm done?
Yeah.
Then it's cool with you? All right. Anyway, last week I was going to make that point about Parks and Rec is that it's just, I don't know, I like the characters better. I like seeing them do well. They have, you know, all these great positive moments in along with all the other awkward stuff that goes along with it. And so I went back to start watching some Parks and Rec because I had caught the middle of that marathon. So I went back to go watch from the beginning again, pick up on episode, you know, 4 or 5 or wherever it was I left off last time I tried watching it. And I realized, oh, season 1 of Parks and Rec, no wonder I didn't like it the first time. It's very much Office-like. There's no, I mean, oh, poor Leslie just keeps getting herself in these situations, and they just keep getting worse. And she's a sweet, wonderful, upbeat kind of person who means the best and all this, but just nothing ever seems to go her way, at least the first, you know, 3 or 4 episodes. And I'm like, oh, that's why I didn't get into Parks and Rec. So I may have to skip ahead a few episodes, because I'd like to watch them chronologically. I don't think I can watch these first episodes. I don't think it's worth me wading through this more painful part just to get to the parts that I know I'm going to enjoy later. So I think I'm just going to skip ahead. I just have to find the right point. I don't want to miss anything, but I don't want to, like I say, I don't want to sit through a bunch of episodes I don't enjoy just because I feel like I have to be completist about it. You know what I mean? So anyway, that was my Parks and Rec update. It's not a huge thing, but, like I say, I listened back to last week's cast and realized that, oh, I just completely skipped a bunch of stuff. I just wasn't even registering with me. So now we've got it done, finished. Let's move on to a little meta talk.
Oppenheimer!
Yeah, meta talk is where I pull back the curtain a little bit, talk about the site, the podcast, stuff like that. And yeah, my site's wonky. I tell you every week, go to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums and sign up, send me a message, we'll hang out, we'll have fun. The site's being a little weird, and not super weird. I mean, it's not broken in that, you know, it's unusable, but it does mean that if it take too long to type something when you're posting, you submit it and it says, oh, error, and then you hit refresh and then it's fine. Which is, again, you know, it's not critical, but it's also not good. And so I gotta do something to fix that, and I can't tell if it's something wrong with the forums I'm using, because I'm using PHP BB2, which is an ancient forum system. They've been on version 3 for years and years and years. And I'm still using 2 because I like it. It's simple. It's straightforward. And so I don't know if it's because my forums are so old and I need to just get some new forums and update, but I hate doing that because even though they always say that you can, they always say that you can import your forums and bring them forward to the new one. I've never been able to do that. When we did Animal Ball, I think we had 3 versions of the Animal Ball forums, and we just kept abandoning the old versions and moving forward to the new one. And then we'd leave the old ones up as an archive for a while and all that. But I don't want to do that. I'd rather see the whole thing just carry forward into a new system, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make it work. I'm probably just going to start over. But, you know, maybe it's not the broken forums. Maybe it's my crappy web hosting. Maybe it's something I'm missing on my SQL extensions. Maybe it's something, I have no idea. And it's just driving me batty. Cause that's the other thing is I know I'm going to wind up going to all this trouble to install some forums, test them out, and realize that, nope, it's got the same problem. It's something broken in my database system. It's something, I don't know. And I'm not happy with my web hosting. So am I just crabbing at random here? Yeah, kinda. But I'm just letting you know that there's going to be some changes on the boards coming up here. I just don't know how soon or how drastic. So bear with me. You guys have all been wonderful and supportive, and everyone keeps telling me, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, it's no big deal. And I appreciate that. You guys are very, very sweet. But did you have something, Noah?
Is it my turn yet?
Am I still talking?
Is it still?
right. You're killing me, kid. All right. You know what? You know what? Apparently, I'm done talking. So
no,
now.
No, you can just finish your thing.
No. I'm done. I'm done. You ready?
Ready. Jesus.
All right. Now it's time for my science corner.
Ooh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And this week on the science corner, we've got Dr. Noah. All right, go on, Noah. It is finally your turn to talk. It's finally your turn to talk. Tell him your tidbit for this week. Go ahead.
Well.
No, go ahead. You, I'm not going to interrupt. I, just as you sat politely for me, I will show you. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you can survive.
You just go ahead and tell him whatever you're going to tell him.
You can survive without air for 3 minutes. You can survive without water for 3 days. And you can survive without food for 3 months.
Was it months?
I mean weeks.
Ooh, what would you have to have for, what would you die without for 3 months?
Internet.
Oh, that's good. I was going to say love. But that was his tidbit for the week. Where'd you pick that up?
Beekman's World.
Beekman's World? Oh my gosh, that's right. You guys, did I tell you about that? Beekman's World is streaming on Netflix. And I don't know if you watched Beekman's World when you were a kid, but I watched Beekman's World when I was a kid, and I loved Beekman's World. It was just, if you haven't seen Beekman's World, go watch. It's just, it's hysterical, and it's fun, and it's fascinating. Go ahead.
And it's also scientific.
And it's super scientific. That is really the whole point of it. It's, Beekman is the fake scientist who comes out and gives us all of our facts, and he has got, two assistants. Generally, one is a rat and one is a teenage girl, and it's just fun. It is really good. And so the magic of it was I found that Beekman's World was on Netflix streaming, and so we introduced the kids to it, and holy crap, if it doesn't hold up. I mean, there's still, you know, there's some stuff that's a little outdated because, you know, it's 30 years old, but they love it. I mean, Noah, Dr. Noah here, loves Beekman's World, and what, have you seen every episode by
no.
now? Not yet? Well, then what are you waiting for?
We haven't watched it lately.
Oh, no. But it's really cool. What's up, Aiden?
And when they say outdated, I mean outdated. They had a whole segment on how you can use the card catalog at a library.
Do you know what a card catalog is?
Yes.
Did you get lessons on how to use the card catalog when you were in elementary school?
Yes.
Noah? 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 You're in elementary school now. Do you get lessons in elementary school on how to use the card catalog? Do they teach you that? No, see, they gave it up. In between Aiden, who is 16 now, and Noah, who is 8, they gave up on how to use the card catalog.
Should we get the other one in here and ask him?
No.
I think we should. I'll bring him.
No, don't go get him. He's being a poop. He's a stick in the mud today.
Fine, but you still have to let me have comments in this.
Oh. You guys can have commentary. We're cool.
And also, I don't know if this is in bad taste, but they also had a segment on the Twin Towers.
No, not in bad taste, because they didn't know. Although, God, that would have been in bad taste if they did know. So what's the rat's name?
Lester.
Lester, okay. So that's what I'm imagining, is that
in each season, they switch out the other.
Yeah, they switch out the girl. But Beekman and Lester were secretly the masterminds behind 9/11 this whole time. And they knew, they were giving us hints back in Beekman's World. We were just too stupid to see it. So. All right. That's enough for our science corner.
We've gotten
him out of the way. What does that leave us with? All right, I did the meta talk. I did the... Oh, no! Get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, all right. You're ruining the dramatic tension. You can go. Oh, thank goodness. Now we can talk about him. All right. Let's try this again. Oh, no. Get the little ones out of the room and make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back. And I just looked at him and went, Rrr!
That's right. It's time for some nerd rage. And actually, my nerd rage today is from Aiden, because I asked him what he wanted to talk about, and he said he had a rage, so I'm just going to let him go. Go ahead.
Let me talk to you people about horror movies. Horror movies nowadays are horrible. Hollywood has no idea to make a horror movie anymore, because recently I watched both Annabelle and Ouija, and had no problems walking out of the theater at night.
Yeah.
What I want to walk out of a horror movie feeling is I want to walk out feeling like I need to go to bed with the hallway light on tonight. And I have not felt that ever since I watched Entity.
Entity? Which one was that?
Entity was the one in the old abandoned Nazi insane asylum.
Oh, wow. Did I see that with you?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Yeah, no.
That doesn't sound familiar. Uh-oh. Noah's back. Fortunately, he's going to be quiet. All right. When did you watch Entity?
I watched Entity that one day when I was home alone, and I watched Blood Glacier and Devil's Pass as well.
Oh, God. That's right. Blood Glacier. I want to see that one. That's Scandinavian.
Yeah, good movie.
I love Scandinavian horror. Shoot. All right. So here's the point, guys. Aiden is 16 years old, and at 16, he's already jaded about how horror movies aren't scary anymore.
Oh, come on.
No, that's my point. That's my point, is that's how quickly the process happens. All right, what was the first movie that really, really scared the pants off of you?
You know which one.
I know, but I'm asking for the benefit of the audience who doesn't know.
The Grudge.
Yeah, The Grudge. Oh, that was bad. That was really bad. I mean, The Grudge was rated PG-13 and...
7 years...
The Noise?
No. Grudge was rated PG-13, and we thought, you know, our kids watch some sophisticated movies when they're with us, and it's, you know, they can watch The Grudge with us. It'll be all right. I mean, it's PG-13. We're right there with them. We'll explain whatever needs to be explained. They'll be... No. Grudge scared the pants off of both of them really badly. And, in fact, Jacob still will not watch horror movies to this day. He refuses to watch horror movies because they scare the crap out of him. He was so traumatized by that one, he will not watch anymore. He plays horror video games, and he about pees himself doing that. He loves a good horror video game. But horror movies won't touch
him.
Yeah, very twisted. I agree. Whereas Aiden, on the other hand, still loves horror movies with us. You didn't watch horror movies for a good couple of years after The Grudge, but
3 years, yeah. Nightmares every night.
Every night.
Crying myself to sleep.
You lying sack of crap.
And
so
The Grudge Noise that one time.
And so, but now he comes in, he watches with us. We love watching horror movies. He's my horror movie buddy. This is when we went out to see Ouija together, which, as he says, and I think I talked about it on the podcast already, I think, but yeah, not a great movie. I mean, the plot was ridiculous and ludicrous. But at least it had some good pacing stuff in it, and it knew how to build tension, it knew how to build a scene, and there was so much good in it that I wish Ouija could have been so much better. I mean, ultimately it had all these good elements that I loved, and yet it was a crap movie. There was no doubt about it, it was a crap movie. So, what, are you gonna add something?
I was gonna say, and by when he says tension, he means dramatic, not horrific.
Yeah. It was creepy, it set a good scene. It did really well. I don't know. I think this happens for everybody, is my guess, is that we all have, there's an impressionable age when you're young and you're first watching horror movies, and maybe the first one you see is when you're just a little bit too young to see horror movies. Because I watched John Carpenter's The Thing when I was 12, and...
Scary Clowns?
Oh, no. That was it. It's the Scary Clowns. No, The Thing was, you watched...
Yeah, the Glacier... Transformy monster thingy.
Right, that's the one. And I saw that when I was 12, and I saw it with a group of friends. So, I mean, we were, you know, it was at a sleepover. There's like five of us, and we all freaked. It was horrifying. And I go back and watch it now, and it's got the 80s special effects, and it's a little cheesy here and there, but it still holds up. That's a good movie. But again, that was the transformative one for me. That was the standard to which all future horror movies have been held, is can it make me want to leave the lights on at night the way The Thing did? And there are not many movies that do that to me anymore. In fact, I can't even remember the last one. There's a lot of really good horror movies that I watch, but it's gotten to where Even when it's a good horror movie, I still, I'm jaded enough that I've seen it enough times and I've, you know, I've got enough experience that no matter how scary it is, yeah, it's still just a movie. And I think, sadly, that's the sad valley you've gotten into, realizing that, oh, you know what? I may never be scared again the way I was before. And there's, and don't, you know, for me, don't mistake that extreme squeamishness, discomfort crap, like Hostel. Hostel's always my prime example for torture porn, where Hostel evoked a really, really strong visceral reaction out of me because it was that horrifying in so many ways, but not to where afterwards it's leaving these lingering effects on me that I'm afraid to go to sleep, I'm afraid of this or whatever. It was just...
It was more uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was just a really, really... It's like watching Meet the Parents, to bring this full circle, where it just keeps getting worse, and you realize there's no hope, and there's no way out of it, and I don't like Audition, which you've never seen, and shouldn't. I think 27 is about the right age to start watching Audition. It like watching Audition, where it's hopeless and helpless, and you realize that, no, there's no escape and there's no getting out of it, and you're just going to watch this play out to its horrifying, bloody, grotesque end, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. There's no hope for the main character. There's no hope for you as the audience. You just have to watch it go. So,
What movie is so bad that I need to be 6 years older than the legal drinking age to watch?
Audition! Are you not listening to me? Audition.
Audition!
Yeah, Noah's seen it. He knows.
I'm not even 6 years older than the legal drinking age. I'm only 8, you dummy.
Exactly, my point.
If the legal drinking age was 2.
So, anyway, that is going to be our official nerd rage. Come on, Hollywood, start scaring us again. You know what? I need a thread on this because I know that there's good ones out there. I'm just trying to think of the good horror movies of the last, you know, year, or the good horror movies of the last 5 years, 10 years, where they've come up with a good concept that not only scares me, but also it's just innovative in some way. And again, I'm never going to recapture that moment of John Carpenter's The Thing. That's never going to happen. I realize that's a once in a lifetime sort of thing, but, I don't know. There's good horror movies out there. I should really do some research and compile. But anyway, all that's beside the point. You know what? It's been a busy holiday season. We had Thanksgiving. We've been doing our Christmas shopping. We've been trying to get everything prepared. And so, therefore, the podcast kind of slips by the wayside. I don't have a lot of stuff prepared. In fact, this is I'm recording here with the kids because they had Friday off this week, so I didn't get my usual Friday recording session in, that kind of stuff. So not a whole lot prepared, as usual. Last 2-3 weeks, I keep telling you guys, not a whole lot prepared. We're just going to play it by ear. So instead, right now... it's time for the Pod-O-Matic!
May I do some Pod-O-Matics?
Yeah, but you have to hit the button. Oh, sweet sassy molassy. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my broken forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And our number right now is 98, and that is, if I get my spreadsheet up, 98 says, it's from Ronster. Hey, Ron. Ron says, what, in your opinion, is the worst candy bar ever made? Aiden?
Zots.
Zots. Oh, that's a good one. Is that a candy bar?
Well, it's little hard candies, but they're still awful and made of diarrhea.
No, that's true. Are there any candy bars you hate, Noah?
Can I say the opposite of that, the one that I like?
Yes, you give us the counterpoint. Give us the best candy bar ever. And get down here where the microphone can hear you.
My opinion of the best candy bar is Hershey's Cookie and Cream.
Oh. Okay, that's a unanimous opinion in this room. Oh, that's the best. No, the worst candy bar, Almond Joy.
Oh, come on!
I'm sorry, I hate coconut. I hate coconut.
Almond joys are amazing!
Coconut's nasty. Alright, and you only like it because you're a contrarian. You just want to be some hipster douchebag.
I
like it. No! Whatever.
I actually enjoy almond
joys. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Can't hear you. R2's talking. R2 says, number 90.
I'll do the next roll.
Number 90 is also from Ronster. Ronster says, do you like your dragons to be nice to people and able to be ridden? Or eternal fire-breathing foes of mankind? Or some mix of both? Okay, a mix of both in the sense that I don't want them to be nice, but I do want them to be able to be ridden by evil foes just to make them even more scarier. I want the dragon to be a bad guy. And then I also want the dragon to be a bad guy who can be ridden by another even more powerful bad guy and used as a mount. And then the two of them together will wipe our party from the face of the map. That's what I like.
Are you planning something?
You guys do have a missing dragon.
Guys.
Well, it's not missing. It's...
Dad,
it's just really pissed off at you.
What? When?
Dad, can I tell you about how I would like dragons?
Oh, yeah.
We left it bleeding in the cave.
That's right.
And we took that one thing that I always sneak... And we also took that gingerbread house that I always sneak into every night in the game
I forgot about that, by the way. I haven't told you guys this. They have... From the dragon's lair, they stole...
all of its gold.
Yeah, they took the dragon's hoard, and it was a small dragon, but they took the dragon's hoard, and among its stuff was a gingerbread house, and the gingerbread house, when activated, becomes a full-size gingerbread house like a witch would live in the woods, and then you walk in, and it's one of those magical Baba Yaga's huts sort of things where you go inside, and it's even bigger on the inside than on the outside. And it turns out that there's a family of elves living in there. Elves who are servants to whoever it is who's supposed to actually own this thing.
And the guy we're supposed to be stealing stuff from.
Right, exactly. The guy, and so there's a family that lives inside this gingerbread house. A family of servants. And they went in there, basically made a bunch of threats, scared the servants, pissed them off, basically set up a really hostile, antagonistic relationship, which they didn't have to do, but that's their choice, because that's who they are. And now, they've decided that going back in there is too uncomfortable, because they don't know what they're going to get from it, and these people don't like them anyway, so they've just kept the gingerbread house in shrunken form, and they're keeping it in their bag of holding, and it's just been there for weeks. This family, I mean, they don't, is the family, are they even active inside the gingerbread house when it's in shrunken form? Or do they just go into some sort of stasis? I mean, if they're just frozen, it's not a big deal. But if they're still alive in there, and they're just walking around in miniature form inside this extra dimensional space, and we just keep them locked up in there and we never let them out, that's kind of cruel, isn't it?
But funny.
Well, funny for sure. But anyway, no, I don't like dragons being friendly mounts.
I don't like dragons being alive.
As much as I like Dragon Riders of Pern, which is a different sort of story, in general, I don't want them to be, you know, you can have a good dragon. You can have a dragon who's working on our side, but even when you know it's a good dragon, you know he's on the same side of the issue as you are. I still want the players to be scared of them. I still want the players to be nervous that, okay, yeah, he's helping us, but he's still a dragon, and who the hell knows what a dragon wants? I mean, he might eat us, or, you know, he may, you know, be plotting all this just to take over our nation and enslave us, or he may, we have no idea what a dragon's gonna do. I want them to be super powerful, usually very intelligent, and totally unpredictable. I like dragons to be dangerous. Even when you think they're a good guy, they're still dangerous. That's how I like my dragons.
Dad,
what, kiddo?
I would like to tell you guys about how I would make a dragon.
How would you make a dragon?
Well, my dragons would be, like, they would be friendly to everything but humans, and then kill all of humankind except all of the ones that are mixed with humans and other types.
Wait. But no one in your group is human, so would dragons be nice to you?
So you're going to become draconic Hitler?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Wow!
Hold on. There we go. That's a 50 from R2. 50 is from Mrs. Darks. Alrighty. Hey, Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, if you had unlimited funds, what piece of technology would you love to own for your own use? Did I not mention a mech suit last time? That would be awesome. Or are you talking about real technology that I could actually have?
Those speed submarines that are shaped like dolphins?
Oh, that would be cool. Actually, you know what else I would love? And this is stupid because A, I would not be able to do it correctly, and B, even attempting to do it correctly, I would wind up really, really hurting myself because I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I'm an old man and I'm kind of fat and out of shape.
Riding a Segway?
No. Oh, God. No. Wait. Segway. Segway is my first answer. I want a Segway because I wouldn't hurt myself on a Segway and I would love that thing. I would love to have a Segway all the time, every day. I want a Segway. Oh, I want a Segway. And it's not, I mean, again, you know, even if I had the money for it right now, it's not useful to me at this moment, but I don't care. I want one. I just want a Segway so bad. I've never even ridden a Segway. I should take my wife and go on one of those Segway tours of some big city sometime. Just to spend a day on a Segway. Oh, man.
That would be
That's
so
great.
Awesome.
That's way better than my answer. I was going to say one of those...
water jetpacks?
Yeah, the water jetpacks. That's the one. The one where you get the little platform jetpack thing and you wind up flying. You fly with a water-propelled rocket jetpack. It's awesome. I mean, I've seen the videos of this thing, and it's crazy good. And yet, I know that it takes a lot of practice, and therefore, I would wind up getting my rocket jetpack, and I'd get myself, you know, 14 feet above the water, and then wind up slamming down sideways on the side of my ear.
Side of your ear? How do
and
you?
I would, shut up. And I would hurt myself really bad, and I get that. But I would love to own one of those and get to play with it for a while. Or at least watch my kids play with it. And then I'd try it a couple times and I'd hurt myself. But it would be a lot of fun. Segway. No, it's Aiden's turn. Go ahead. It's like fighting over the damn elevator buttons. Honest to God. You're 16 years old and you will race the children to an elevator so that you can press the button before they do.
It's a fun experience.
It's crazy. All right, 30.
It's a sign of power.
Yes, that's exactly the problem. 30 is from Ronster.
Ronster, why do you put up so many questions?
Because he loves this podcast. He is a dedicated listener.
No, it's not.
Oh, actually, no, here's the problem. We're running out. So we're now at, let's see, what's the official count? I got to roll over the side here. We now officially have 126, and we've just used up, this is the fourth one, so we have 122 left. If we get down below 100, we don't have enough for a full page. So we're starting to run a little bit low. But yeah, it's holidays. We got enough to get us through Christmas. And then maybe by New Year's, people have a little bit more time. They'll start helping us out again. So anyway, this one's from Ronster, and it says, what is your favorite animated robot? Guys, favorite animated robot. Seriously?
Wally is the one that comes to mind first.
Wally.
Bender Bending Rodriguez.
Oh! Sometimes I forget he's a robot.
Yeah, forget he's a robot. Yeah, exactly. That was the obvious answer. That was easy. 25 is again from Ronster, Noah. I know. He's your nemesis now, isn't he?
Yes.
And he'll come back. It's like a level 25 or Uruk.
Okay. Here's where we're going to get some debate here in the room. Diet Dr. Pepper versus Dr. Pepper 10. Who wins? All right. We've got an actual debate going on in this house. Aiden?
I hate both.
Yeah, see, you're a loser.
Dr. Pepper 10!
Noah and his brother Eli love Dr. Pepper 10. Just for men. Me personally, I am a Diet Dr. Pepper fan, and Dr. Pepper
just
10.
Just for women!
Shut up. Dr. Pepper 10, and would be fine if it was. Dr. Pepper 10, to me, tastes identical, and therefore, why do I want the extra 10 calories? I don't notice the difference in taste, really. And beyond that, I thought the marketing campaign, which they've given up on, thank God, but the original marketing campaign of Dr. Pepper 10, just for men, as if those 10 extra calories made your diet drink so manly women couldn't touch it. It was a little sexist and a little weird. I mean, I get why they were doing it, because apparently Diet Dr. Pepper is a very popular drink, but I think the marketers were afraid that it's too much of a girly drink, and therefore they wanted to man it up a bit. Whatever. Yeah, me personally, Diet Dr. Pepper. Clearly Diet Dr. Pepper. But I will recognize that there are other valid opinions in this world. Wrong ones, but valid. 0-5. Let's take this sucker all the way to the top of the page. There she be. Oh, it's from Daz. It's from Daz. See, it's not Ronster. All right.
Finally.
Daz says, out of all the ghost stories, urban legends, and supernatural stories that you have ever heard, which one seems most likely to be true?
Loch Ness Monster.
My guess, I can't argue with that. The Loch Ness Monster, that makes perfect sense. That an ancient population of plesiosaurs has somehow managed to survive into modern times within the confines of a single lake in Scotland. And they have had a large enough group for them to have a breeding population that hasn't died out over the course of 80 million years, and yet also have left no evidence that we can find of them.
I see no problem with that logic.
All right, we're good. Oh, 0-5. Hold on. R2 got in the way and the dice didn't flip over. Go ahead. Noah, you try it this time. That's much better. 47. All right. 47 is from Lucy. And Lucy says, suppose in 2030 it's possible to pay $5,000 in order to enhance your child's genes in such a way that he or she is likely to have a much better memory. Do you think it would be okay for anyone to purchase this enhancement? Would you purchase it, for example, for your grandkids?
Well, then we'd remember you enhancing us, and then we'll just resent you.
No, we're talking about for your unborn kids.
Oh.
I'm assuming we're talking genetic enhancements that means that your kids... Well, although, just to get it right now, maybe. That is a really, really tough one to say. Is it...
I would say no.
Okay. Because, philosophically speaking, if you know that your kid is going to be born with a genetic disease that could be debilitating.
Yes.
Is it okay to purchase a gene therapy for $5,000 or $20,000? Is it okay to purchase a gene therapy to apply to them before they're born that will remedy that disease so that they are not born with, for example, hemophilia or sickle cell anemia, or something like that? Is it okay to buy some sort of therapy to eliminate a disease?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think most people would agree that, yes, that's okay. Well, then, all right. Then, what about ADHD?
Oh, it's a gift.
Many people view ADHD as a disability because it's an attention deficit. You have a tough time paying attention. You have a tough time. And so, would it be okay to buy something to fix that? Or, in this particular case, is it okay to buy something to make an improvement that, okay, you're giving them a better memory? And especially when you realize that other people are going to be doing it, and if you want your kid to be competitive, well then, you certainly don't want to get them left behind, and, you know, by not buying the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, super strong, intelligent package. Yeah, exactly. If the master race is being born, do you really want your kids to be left out? Personally, I wouldn't do it myself. I don't think that such a thing seems ethical. I think there's so many problems that go along with it. I don't like it, but I also feel like it's also inevitable, and my opinions on it are really irrelevant because I'm not having any more kids, and this will be a question for my kids and for my grandkids when they have to face their own choices, when they're having children of their own. And cultural attitudes will be different by then. I mean, for me, no. But for others, maybe. I'm gonna try not to judge too much because, again, it'll be a different landscape by then. That's a tough one. 08 is from Eliahad. Oh, Eliad, who, by the way, Sphere Ensemble's Kickstarter ended a couple of days ago. They made just about 12 grand, which is spectacular for them, which means he couldn't game this week, and I probably won't see him around at all because he is doing nothing but making my album for me until it's finished. I'm sure that that's what's going on. I'm so happy for those guys. Sphere Ensemble did a great job. I cannot wait to get the CD. Cannot wait to hear the music. I absolutely love this stuff, and I'm so proud of them. It's really good. So anyway, that's the last you'll hear about Sphere Ensemble for a while, until I get my CD. Eliahad says, Cards Against Humanity. Are your kids not old enough yet?
The answer is, I wish, and the second answer is, yeah, they're not old enough yet. Well, I am.
You're gonna have to help me. What's Cards Against Humanity?
Okay. You get a set of cards in your hand. It's like apples to apples, except much, 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 much more adult.
Really?
Yes.
What is card? All right, I've never heard of it. Cards Against Humanity is a party game for horrible people.
See?
Wow.
I want it.
All right, let's see. Unlike most of the card games you've played, Cards Against Humanity is as despicable and awkward as you and your friends. The game is simple. Each round, one player asks a question from a black card, and everyone else answers with their funniest white card.
It's giving you examples there at the top of the page, by the way.
So, absolutely, it is. It sounds like it is like apples to apples, but the new Chevy Tahoe with the power and space to take blank everywhere you go. Oh, wow. A slightly shittier parallel universe. Oh, this is awesome. I have never played Cards Against Humanity. I've never even heard of Cards Against Humanity.
Really?
Never. How do you know this stuff? This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, my two oldest boys are absolutely old enough to play Cards Against Humanity. And I think I see a Christmas gift here. Well, because this is the sort of thing that baby Jesus would have Santa bring to us. So I'm pretty sure. This is spectacular.
Jesus.
This looks so much fun. Holy crap. All right, hold on. I got my pocket mod out now. Now, God darn it, but I can't find my pen. There it is. Where's my green pen? Where is my green pen? You lost my green pen. You stole it.
I did steal it.
Look, there's three options here. One, you stole me dime. Two, you stole my dime. All right.
And everyone's at home. And three, you stole me dime.
All right, I am writing down on my pocket mod, Cards Against Humanity. I feel so ignorant for not knowing this. I cannot believe.
Did that last card say Ice Pop Lobotomy?
Probably. All right, we're done with that. Next. 04.
Oh, 04
is from Kyle. Let's see. Kyle says, do you have an intellectual celebrity crush? Someone you think in the deepest part of your heart that if you sat down and talked with them, they'd totally get you and you would connect in a weird, not necessarily romantic way that would change both of your lives. In college, I was pretty sure I could make that connection with Jewel, but now I'm pretty sure it's Dan Harmon. Okay. Yeah. Funny you should say Dan Harmon, because honestly, Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh.
I am positive that on some level, Kumail is like my intellectual soulmate. He's like, I love Kumail. I love everything he does. I listen to all of his podcasts. I wish I had HBO so I could watch Silicon Valley. I wish I had Comedy Central so I could watch Jonah and Kumail at the Meltdown, which, by the way, pisses me off to no end. Since we don't have Comedy Central here, because of our cable company having a fight with, Comcast or whoever it is that owns Comedy Central, I thus go online and I go to watch Jonah and Kumail online because all the episodes are free online and it tells me, oh, no. As soon as I link on the video, it says, yeah, I wish we could let you watch that, but we're in a fight with Cable One, and they won't let us stream to you even from our website. Sorry, dude. Oh, you bastards. There was an episode of At Midnight where they had the cast of Reno 911 was on as the contestants on At Midnight. And I heard Chris Hardwick talking about it later, where he's describing how they had so much good material that they posted up online a full 1 hour completely unedited, uncensored version of the Reno 911 show with, I mean, dirty, dirty, filthy stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is, I want to, because I love the state guys. I love Reno 911. I like At Midnight. I really wanted to see that episode. And sure enough, Comedy Central tells me, oh, sorry, yeah, no, we're fighting with your cable company. Not going to happen. Sorry, dude. So I'm sure there's some way for me to get around it and steal it from somewhere else. I might even do that at some point, but just so frustrating. So anyway, but to answer your question, yeah, Kumail Nanjiani is just, I like him a lot. He is, when I listen to Harmontown, Kumail is my voice. Whenever Dan starts going completely off into the weeds and he's contradicting himself and he's being this complete egocentrical hypocrite about whatever, Kumail's the one that goes, yeah, didn't you just say the exact opposite? Kumail's the guy who's saying the stuff I wish I could be there to say. Or even when Jeff Davis starts talking about his psychic powers and how he's not psychic, but he does have psychic powers. And Kumail gets to be the one to stand up and go, whoa, 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 wait. Why is everyone glossing over this? Why have we not been talking about nothing but this for the whole show? What do you mean you have psychic power? That's the voice I want to hear.
How can you not be psychic but have psychic powers?
You gotta listen to all the episodes. Jeff Davis will literally, look, I'm not psychic. I don't believe in this crap, but I do have psychic experiences. I mean, he really, it's just, wait. It's that blatant, and there's, to him, in his mind, there's no contradiction when he says it. It's the weirdest thing. So, that is my celebrity intellectual crush. Absolutely. And we're gonna do one more, and we're out of here. Aiden, you give me the last R2. All right, I don't like all the zeros, but I'm going to keep taking it. 07, I don't think that die's been flipping over this whole time. At least it's given us different numbers. So 07 is from Daz. And Daz says, and on a serious scientific note, do you believe the current theories regarding the dangers of wheat in the diet and the benefits of a paleo or high-fat, low-carb diet, or is a strict RPG-style potato chip regime the way to go? All right. Obviously, look, I love the whole, Cheetos and Funyuns and Mountain Dew diet. I love that, but that's not healthy for me. Do I believe in eliminating wheat and gluten? Look, my brother's allergic to gluten and he has real problems, but he's really allergic to gluten. It will make him sick. But there are people who are avoiding gluten simply because They want to live a gluten-free lifestyle, and they are choosing to avoid gluten because they think it's healthier for them to avoid gluten, simply because gluten is a word that they hear that people are avoiding.
Gluten-free food is gross.
In general, yes. Just ask your Uncle Kyle. And the problem I have with that is that gluten, if you're not allergic to gluten, if you're not gluten-sensitive, gluten doesn't hurt you at all. I mean, it doesn't. There's no harm in having gluten, and so I think these people are perpetuating this horrible anti-gluten myth thing, and it's just crazy. I don't like it. But on the other hand, do I think eating a more paleo diet is? I mean,
I don't even know what that means.
It means first off, paleo. I believe it's the whole we should be eating like our ancestors ate, our caveman ancestors. So you're getting
raw meat and rotten fruit.
Well, and actually, turns out that mostly they were eating lots of, I would guess, lots of fruits and vegetables because that's the stuff that they were a hunter-gatherer society. And when they had meat, they would eat meat, and it was a lot of high-protein stuff and all that. But, yeah, look, in general, I think avoiding carbs is a great idea. I think getting a balanced diet is a great idea. It's weird for me because I am dieting right now and I'm trying to watch these things. Yeah, you can get out of here. We're done with you. You suck.
Really?
Go. Yeah. You're done. You can leave.
Shoo, shoo.
He's finally bored with us.
Now we can talk about him.
Well, we said that last time and then we didn't talk about him. Okay, hold on. Oh, he's gone. Noah sucks. Okay. Anyway, so I got nothing on the whole diet thing. I don't know enough. I know that our current nutrition guidelines that come to us from the government are completely tainted by the influence of lobbyists and big food companies. And so therefore, yeah, we should be getting less fat and less carbs than we traditionally have our entire lives, or at least I have. I eat way too many carbs. I eat so much starch and grain and sugar. It's just not even funny. And all the foods that we have sugar injected into them because, well, that's what we like. Yeah, a more paleo diet is probably a good way to go, but I don't know. I don't know if I believe in the whole hype on that one either. It's all, there's so much. Everyone's got something to sell. It's hard for me to say.
I'm not selling anything.
But I do know that I do need to, I do need to eat less carbs, less sugar, less fat, and I really need to eat more vegetables. I'm really bad about that. I should put more vegetables in my diet. That's all I got. So, where are we on time? I said that was the last one. I might have been a liar. You know what? Let's do one more. Go ahead and do one more.
And then 07 again.
Okay, 36.
That's a much better number.
Yeah, clearly you don't know how to push a button.
Okay, it's a button!
Right, and you pushed it wrong. So, 37 from Humongous. Are you a fan of Akira Kurosawa movies, such as The Seven Samurai, Yojimbo, Kagemusha, and Ran?
Yes.
No.
Sorry.
I've tried. The old Kurosawa black and white live action Kurosawa movies?
I can't accept you as my father anymore.
I know you're a Japanophile, and you will accept anything that Japan creates as if it's some sort of cultural pinnacle. And I understand these are great movies. Kurosawa, brilliant director, but it's before my time. It's too early for me. I've talked about Seven Samurai before, and just didn't like it. Didn't like it. It was just too cartoonish, too kabuki theater, too... I just didn't enjoy getting into that one. No, that wasn't that one. That was Yojimbo, which is also on your list here. Yojimbo. I haven't watched Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai is great.
I haven't seen it.
You should watch.
Okay, and I understand. I have heard so many good things about Kurosawa. I know I should watch, but I tried watching Yojimbo and hated it, and therefore I decided that all Japanese people suck, so therefore I can't ever watch.
Wow!
Yeah, well,
kind of a generalization there.
I've decided I'm tired of taking things by degrees. It's much easier if you can just eliminate whole groups of people at once.
That's Hitler said the same thing.
I know! look, just because the Nazis did it doesn't mean it's bad. That's a quote from yesterday's Penny Arcade, in fact. That was... It started from a discussion of what to do with all these extra copies of Grand Theft Auto V and wound up with the statement of, hey, just because Nazis did it doesn't mean it's bad. I really should check out the other Kurosawa movies. I've heard such good things. He's supposed to be a brilliant revolutionary director, and I just haven't done it. So I should. I tried one and didn't like it, and it's just made me a little gun-shy about trying any more of them. But I'll get there. So, all right, that is finally the end. So what do we do after we're done with Podomatics? Oh, that's right. We wait for GLaDOS, and she gives us a recap.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2014 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was She Blinded Me With Science as performed by William Shatner. The songs are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't include them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, spread the word. Let other people enjoy it. That's all I ask. Don't forget the free games I have available on my free games page. Instant Game, Animal Ball Melee, Sandbox Hill, 2/3 of a dozen others. All free, all the time. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com, and I promise I will actually respond to you. Or you can find me on Twitter, where my handle is @nerdprideradio, or even check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But, to be totally honest with you, you know this, the best way to talk to me is to come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together, we will become best friends in the world, we'll have fun. I'm sorry. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before every podcast, I post up a thread in my forum saying, hey, you got anything you want to add? And sure enough, this time, somebody does. It's Ronster. And hold on one moment. Let me get to the right page here. And all right, here we go. I am looking at, oh boy, Ronster has a lot to say. Ronster says, here, give me a sec. All right, next post. This is the musical version of an F. Mary Kill. I call it Dance, Repeat, Delete. One, you will sing a song and dance to it in a very public performance. Think airport or train station. Oh, one song that you will dance to. Okay. I got it. Okay. So he's going to give me three songs. One song that I have to dance to in a very public performance. One song that I will listen to on repeat for the rest of my life. And one song that will be removed from existence. It will never be written. Think Time Machine Cleanup Crew. Nor will the influence it had on others ever happen. Think Butterfly Effect. Wow, this is really, really tough. All right. So, dance, repeat, delete. So one song I have to dance to in a public place, one song that I have to listen to on repeat forever, and one song that will be erased from history. So, my choices are Hey Sue, Joy of Man's Desiring.
I already have my list done.
Two is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Three, Feliz Navidad. Oh my. I don't know the first one. So, I'm going to have to go to YouTube and listen to it. You guys are just going to have to wait. Oh, yeah, I can't listen to it. Darn it, the way this thing is wired up, when I have the microphone plugged in and it's recording, the speakers won't play. So, therefore, I will. Oh, there's no good choices here. There's no good song to listen to on repeat for the rest of my life. But since I've never heard of The Joy of Man's Desiring, which probably makes me some sort of Philistine, I guess. But I've never heard of it, so therefore I will just eliminate it from history, because clearly that will have the least ripple effect. Because if I've never heard of it, nobody's ever heard of it. Seriously.
Agreed.
Which now means I have to listen to either Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Feliz Navidad on repeat for the rest of my life.
Feliz Navidad, because it's already repetitive.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I was actually thinking, Feliz Navidad. And then maybe I'll learn like four words of Spanish. There we go. And then I will do an amazing interpretive dance rendition of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in some public place. You can even televise it if you want. It would be awesome. I could do that. That's fine. All right, next post from Ron. I want to know who was in what alliance during Hero Battle. I can't tell you. I wish I could, but if they decide to pull the same trick next time, whether it's, you know, two people or a group of people or multiple groups of people, if they want to play again, I cannot give away their tricks. I know from behind the scenes, I know what it is that I can look for that will tell me that they're teaming up. I mean, there's some stuff that's really obvious behind the scenes and some stuff that even I don't catch on to until afterwards when I go, oh, I get what they were doing now. That makes sense. But I can't. Hero Battle is a really complicated one because even when the battle is over, nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to share what their strategy was. Nobody wants to give anything away because, well, no matter what, anything that they talk about, anything is going to give some sort of hint as to how they operate and give you some sort of hint as to what to look for on them next time around. And nobody wants to do that. And as moderator, I'm not going to reveal anything other than to say that I know that alliances were happening, and it was obvious from my position what they were doing, and it was brilliant. But I can't tell you who they were. That is entirely up to them. If anyone wants to fess up to being in a Hero Battle alliance, please do so on the boards. It's a great conversation. It's just not one I'm allowed to initiate. If someone else wants to initiate it, I'd be glad to participate, but I can't reveal anything. Although Ron says, Ron says that he allied himself with Kyle, so that's the extent of his complicity. But I think everyone allied themselves with Kyle at some point, because Kyle was fishing for everybody. So, yeah, I hate to tell you that you're not special, but you're not. He used you. How does that make you feel, Ron, to be used like that? Yeah, not good, does it? I'm sorry. Ron says, Trans-Siberian Orchestra versus Mannheim Steamroller. Who wins?
No idea on either of those.
Well, no, I'm assuming that, let's assume that you get both sides in full combat gear beating each other with their own instruments, presumably to the point where neither one of them can perform anymore. I just won. That's awesome. Oh, my God.
Oh.
So, Mike, are you going to read everything we post? How much is too much? I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fight's historical, I'm still reading from Ronster here, from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted, too, with matters mathematical. I understand equations, both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news. A lot of news. He didn't have that part. That was my own editorial comment. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and animalculus. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. I don't see where we're getting to a question here, but I'll allow it for the moment. We'll keep going. I know our mythic history, King Arthur's and Sir Caradoc. I answer hard acrostics. I have a pretty taste for paradox. I quote in elegiacs all the crimes of Heliogabalus. In conics, I can floor peculiarities parabolas. That's pretty good. That's really complex. Did you write this yourself? Because this is impressive. I can tell undoubted Raphaels from Gerard Dow's and Zophanes. I know the croaking chorus from the frogs of Aristophanes. Then I can hum a fugue of which I've heard the music's din afore. Bothered for a rhyme? Huh. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. That's clever. Then I can write a washing bill in Babylonic cuneiform is how it's pronounced, isn't it? And tell you every detail of Caractacus's uniform. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. In fact, I still don't see where this is going. In fact, when I know what is meant by Mamelon and Ravelin, when I can tell at sight a Messier rifle from a javelin, who couldn't tell a rifle from a javelin? That's not even a brag. At this point, you're just being silly. Okay.
You shoot one, you throw the other.
You're right. Okay. I was picturing the reverse, but okay. anyway, back to his quote. When such affairs as sorties and surprises I'm more wary at, and when I know precisely what is meant by commissariat, when I have learnt what progress has been made in modern gunnery, when I know more tactics than a novice in a nunnery, wait, who would not know more of tactics than a novice in a nunnery? This is not even,
Is nunnery a word?
Oh, yeah, get thee to a nunnery? Sure. That's a great one. In short, when I've a smattering of elemental strategy, you'll say a better major general has never sat a G? For my military knowledge, though I'm plucky and adventury, that's a word, has only been brought down to the beginning of the century, but still in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. That is brilliant. Actually, my oldest son, Jacob, was the modern major general in that play. Mm-hmm. And he sang the song and sang it very well and very, very fast. Very fast. I spotlighted him. And Aiden did the spotlight. That was pretty awesome. All right, Ron. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I haven't shut him off yet. Hold on. Christ, if I don't hit done, he's going to keep going. Done. There's so many posts. So many posts. God, I'm done. All right, you can post whatever you want after this. I won't read it. All right, here we go. Ronster says, I am Groot could be the universal greeting card if it were marketed properly, don't you think? Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I love I am Groot. That is brilliant. Ronster says, are you going to root for Georgia Tech against Florida State in today's AAC championship game? Is that a sporting event?
Yeah, I don't follow sport ball. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's I'm not into Pokemon.
Yeah, go bring the thing to the other thing. Make a goal unit.
That's right. Speaking of Dan Harmon, listening to Dan Harmon do the sports corner is one of the absolute funniest bits ever. Dan Harmon knows less about sports than I do, and he will regularly do sports corner, and then someone will be interviewing him as if he's a sports expert, and then they will throw hints about what he's supposed to be commenting on, such as, you know, the Super Bowl was on. Uh-huh, and they're playing against, who's the other team? Well, look, there's the important part, and he clearly doesn't know, and he bluffs his way through, and he tries to make intelligent commentary while knowing nothing about sports at all. It's really funny. What is the worst prank you ever pulled on someone, be it at work or at home? I need ideas. Okay, the two that I have that are worthwhile is, one, if you live on the third floor of a large colonial home, and you have a cousin who quite regularly runs across the third floor and then leaps down the stairs to the first landing, so he's leaping over 7 or 8 stairs to hit the first landing. If that happens, you've got that situation, then hide behind the door and wait till he's running out, and then jump out from behind the door just as he's about to jump, and scream, rah! All right, and then he will panic, and he'll fly across the space there, slam into the opposite wall, and then slide 6 feet down to the floor. It was really impressive. I've told this story a bunch of times. Two, you can, with cardboard boxes or styrofoam or whatever you have, we have lots of boxes at work because we're computer guys and we get lots of computers and computer parts and all this. We have used the box. Originally we used styrofoam. Now we use boxes. But we used styrofoam out of the boxes as bricks to build a styrofoam brick wall inside Joel's door. His door opens outward into the hallway. And so when he opens his door, all he sees is a solid white brick wall of styrofoam, which he then was so thrilled about because then he could run through yelling, "Hey, Kool-Aid!" Oh, yeah! He was so happy about that. Or alternately using boxes. These were little speaker boxes, so the boxes weren't but, you know, I think 12 inches long, little tiny brick-sized boxes. And I used those to build a chimney around Yancey's chair. So it was literally a wall that went just around his chair. Starting from the floor, it went up and it like overlapped onto his desk. And so it was a chimney that was about 6 or 7 feet tall that completely enclosed his chair and workspace.
How many speakers do you have at work?
This was just after we got a shipment of new computers, and so we probably had like 200 speaker boxes. It was awesome. That's pretty good. Or the newest one, this one I got from Yancey. If you're going to a Cracker Barrel, and other restaurants,
Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, other restaurants will work just as well, but Cracker Barrel has a really good large print menu for those who have vision trouble. When you go into Cracker Barrel, without the rest of your party knowing, tell the waitress that one member of your party has vision trouble and needs the large print menu, and hold on. And then here's the key to it. You tell them that they need the large print menu, but you don't say anything else about it. So when you get to the table, they get handed a large print menu. Everyone else has a regular menu. And the large print menu, because it's large print, is oversized, it's oddly shaped, and it's a book. It's like dozens of pages because they have to fit everything on. And it even has Braille included at the back. So this is a huge thing, and it's awkward and tough to use. And now, as everyone sits down and they start looking at their menu, now it's incumbent on you to start making conversation. You have to start talking to them so that they don't want to be rude. They're going to keep trying to talk to you. But meanwhile, they're trying to figure out what the hell is wrong with their menu. And they'll wonder about it, and they'll look, and they'll see what other people are looking at. And then you'll ask them, and you're like, oh, this looks good. Did you see the sandwich on page 3? And then they'll be, my page 3 isn't like, I don't get. All right, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It's just really, really awkward until they finally figure out. And all you've done is give them the wrong menu. But they get so uncomfortable because they feel like, okay, there had to be a reason for this. This is, why is this wrong? What did I do? It's really, really funny. I really want to do this. Not that I ever go to Cracker Barrel. I've never been there. But if I did, I would want to be there with my in-laws because I want to tell them to give it to my mother-in-law because it would baffle her. But in the meantime, her husband would never let it die. He would bring this up again for ages about how he got a normal menu, but obviously she's so old that they had to get, oh, what's wrong with you that
he
they had
would
to
do that.
Yeah, he would forever. It would be a joke that would come back up for years and years. I think that's a wonderful one. Also, one more that you can try, and this one takes a little bit of preparation, but it's easy. If you bring your lunch to work. Yeah, see, exactly.
The orange apple?
Yeah, the orange apple. If you bring your lunch to work, I got this from Penn and Teller out of their book, How to Play with Your Food. If you bring a lunch to work, what you do is the night before, you peel an orange and cut it on one side and peel it open and remove all of the flesh of the orange while leaving the peel as intact as possible. All right, you should have just barely a broken seam on one side, but pretty much the orange peel is fairly intact. All right, now, your next job is to get an apple that is slightly smaller than your orange, and you put your apple inside your orange peel. That's it. All right? There's not going to be, this is the whole preparation. You now have an apple that's inside an orange peel. And then when you get to work, you're eating lunch with other people, and you need to go in and you need to pull out your orange and just hold it so that that broken seam is hidden in your hand. It'd be pretty easy. All right? And now, start peeling your orange, and you have to do it in an obvious way. You have to make a show of it where you, like, start it with your teeth or something. Get a little knockout of the orange peel with your teeth, and then you start picking the peel. And, again, this requires keep the other person distracted. Have a conversation with them so that you're locking eyes with them, and they're watching your eyes, but they also saw you bring the orange to your face. They saw you start peeling this thing. And then as you're picking parts of the peel off, eventually you have them all done. All your evidence is now just broken peels, so there's no evidence that you did this. There's no evidence of your tampering from the night before. And now you've got an apple in your hand. And after you've finished peeling your orange and all the pieces are laying there in front of you, you just take a bite of your apple. Keep having this conversation. Now, here's the key to this prank. You never, ever, ever fess up to it. Not once. Not even when they go, did you just take an apple out of an orange peel? No. What are you, stupid? And then they point to it and they go, look, you're eating an apple and there are orange peels right there on the table in front of you. I don't know where this came from. I have no idea. What are you talking about? All right, and you practice this ahead of time because you can't crack a smile. You can't break this at all. You simply deny it forever. That's it. That's all you ever do. Because the first time, even weeks later, the first time you fess up to what you did, now you're just lame. So wait a minute. You went the night before and you peeled you put an apple inside an orange peel just so you could come in and pretend you didn't? Is it, you look stupid. No. You have to just do this and never admit to it. It'll just freak them out. It's a little bit of surreal adventure for the day, and then you move on. That's what you want to do. All right? That's probably the most useful one for you. But all right, are there any more? Was that the end of Ronster's commentary? I forgot that we're in the middle of listener betrayal here. Let's see. Oh, that's all I have for now, Mike. I hope you're feeling better. I feel a lot better. My throat's still a little scratchy. Got a little bit of a cough. But for the most part, doing pretty good. So I appreciate that. And now, say goodnight, R2. One more quick one. Eli got in under the wire on this one. Eggnog, yay or nay? Show your work. I don't know. I don't think I've ever tried eggnog. I bet I'd like it. Somehow, I just don't think I've ever tried it. How is that even possible? You know what? I'll make it my mission to try some eggnog this Christmas season because it can't be anything wrong with eggnog. It sounds good, right? I think so. All right. I'll try some and I'll report back. Now say goodnight, R2. Way better.